We're so glad to have you with us here tonight. Tonight, Brother Mike Helms. Brother Mike Helms is a elder for the Vider Church of Christ. He is an electrical engineer. Brother Helms has worked for NASA. There, working for NASA, he met the love of his life, Miss Erin Helms. Together, they have several children. And now, he works as an engineer for a well-known company in the Southeast Texas region. But tonight, we're not focused on Brother Helms' secular accomplishments, however impressive they may be. No, tonight, the sole quality of Brother Helms that shines forth and allows him to stand head and shoulder above all is that he is a faithful, dedicated soldier of the cross. And he has been one for a long time. And so tonight, Brother Mike Helms is ready on the line with his Bible in hand. I would encourage you to have yours also, that he would tell us about the subject of who will enter heaven. Brother Mike Helms, we ask that you come on and that you mince no words and that you proclaim to us the truth. We'll turn it over to you, Brother Helms.
Thank you very much, Austin. I am really excited and happy to be here tonight. I want to first say, I'm over the past year and a half, as we've worked through COVID, you know, I've seen how the phones and how the internet and social media and different things can be used and be effective. And what better message to pass over these avenues than the Word of God? I am so impressed with the Highland Heights Church of Christ and the brethren, along with Austin, who have worked to build this nationwide gospel call and make it into something so great. And I thank you, brethren, for the work you've done, and may it continue on and touch the lives of many. So tonight, I've had a good day. I hope you have as well, and we are truly blessed tonight because we get to sit here and we get to talk about God, about what he wants for us, about what his word says. And of course, as Brother Austin said, that I'm going to be talking tonight about who is going to heaven, what we need to do to get there. And a brother of mine told me a number of years back, he said, well, you know, that he had learned that if you preach a sermon, if you teach a class, whatever it is, when you put your notes, that your notes should be filled with the Word of God. And I looked at my notes today, and I oftentimes put the Word of God in red so that it stands out, and it looks like my pages are bleeding off the screen here. So we are going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to make sure we understand what he wants from us. In Revelation, a number of times we're told, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And what he means by hear, he means, you know, you need to perk up and listen. You need to not only hear what's being spoken, but understand what's being spoken and to carry that in your heart, to use it in your everyday life and to spread the word. Now, as I think about the days and times that we live in, and yes, we live in times that change, have changed over my 50-some-odd years so much, but it always seems like there's some key word out there that's being used. And as I was preparing my lesson tonight, one key word kind of stood out. And as I explain, you'll understand why it stood out. But that key word that is used a lot in the world today is inclusion. Now, when we think about inclusion, you know, it's a word that says to include, to accept, and it can be good, but it can also be bad. And I look at it today, and really the whole reason I bring that up is because many of us know that the nation has declared the month of June to be LGBT month or Pride month. And let me make one thing clear. When I look at this community of the LGBT, I see human souls. I see people created by God, and what God created is good and perfect. But people just like me who have fallen to sin. And inclusion, I want them to be included. When I bring them the Word of God, I want them to hear the Word of God. I want them to understand and follow the Word of God. But what I cannot be inclusive of is what they do. For Romans 1:26-27 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So I cannot be inclusive and be acceptant of the sin they commit, but what I do see is a person, a creation of God, who I wish to bring the word to. Now, on the good side of inclusion, I want to have inclusion, and my inclusion is that in heaven, as I hope yours is as well. I'm sure as you're listening in tonight that you are a believer in God, someone who loves God and wants to be with God in heaven. The chance to see him face to face, to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ, and have everlasting life. In Colossians 3:23-24, which is the verse I chose for my lesson tonight, it said, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Folks, I look forward to that inheritance, especially as I grow older and older. There are so many things on this earth that cause us trouble. You know, it might be that we're trying to figure out where our next meal is coming from. How am I going to pay the bills for this month? It may be that, like, when I get up in the morning and my legs hurt and my back hurts, to be rid of that pain. But the thing I look forward to the most in receiving the inheritance of God is to not have to deal with evil anymore. To know that I can be with God and he's going to protect me from there on out from the trials and temptations that I face on this earth today. And I know that by facing those and by being victorious, I will be with God. Now, to get to heaven, and who is going to heaven? We turn to the Bible itself. We turn to the Bible and see what he says for us to get to heaven. In Ephesians 2:8-10, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, Paul here is trying to give us understanding of where we sit with God and how we can be one with God. And in Ephesians 3:21, he tells us, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So it is to be a part of the church of Christ is where I can find redemption and make my way into heaven. But there's much more to it than that. In Ephesians 2:1-3, he tells us, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So as we read that and we go back to Ephesians 2:8, and we see that for by grace we are saved. And why is that? Well, the fact of the matter is we're saved by grace because we have sinned, and there's nothing we can do to overcome that. You can't unring a bell. What's done is done, and we have offended God. And therefore, it is going to be up to him to give us grace and forgiveness for that. Now, the thing about grace is grace from God is conditional. He'll give us grace, but only if we do the things that he's told us that we need to do. Now, as we read on here in Ephesians 2:8, he says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Unfortunately, many in the world will stop right there and they say, "Well, that's all you need to have is faith, and by that you can be saved." But folks, that's not true. You can't just stop there. You can't pick and choose. And many people in this world today that call themselves Christians pick and choose what they want to. And here's what I liken it unto. If you were to go down to the local store and buy yourself a chair, one that had to be put together, and you got it back home, and you pulled out the instructions, and you pulled out that piece of that chair, and you read the first line that to take this piece and this piece and put it together with this screw. And you stop there. Who's willing to sit in that chair? Now, I'm a pretty big fella, and I don't think I'm going to be sitting in a chair with just one screw in it. Otherwise, I'm going to find myself on the floor. No, for me to truly get a chair that's going to be safe to sit in, I have to go through the full set of instructions. I have to follow all of it, put all the screws in, put all the features in, and I end up with a chair. It's the same way with God. When we look for God, He's given us instructions for us to follow, but we have to follow all of them to reap the inheritance. We can't just pick and choose and grab a few things here and there. No, we have to do all that He's asked us to do and ensure ourselves that we're doing exactly what He wants. Now, last week, Brother Wiggins, who spoke, he spoke about some of the things we have to do. And, of course, we do those things through faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's believing in a God. It's believing in His Son. Now, how do we get that belief? How do we get that faith? Well, the fact of the matter is we do that by reading the Word of God. When we see its perfection, the complexity over time, and how it's put together, and how it explains all, then we begin to believe in a God and know that He is alive. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And isn't that great comfort for us to be able to sit back and know that there is a God, that He's there and He listens to me when I speak to Him? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If we walked by sight and looked around at the things we have in this world, it's going to lead us into a deep, dark forest. No, we walk by faith in God, following His plan of salvation, His map to heaven. Now, faith requires more than just belief. Faith, I oftentimes say, is like a muscle. And when I was a young man, I lifted a lot of weight. And as I lifted weights, the more I went in, the more I lifted weights, the stronger I got. The moment I stopped lifting those weights, I began to grow weaker. And it's amazing how fast I got weak. With faith, it's the same thing. We have to work out our faith and make it strong. The more we work, the stronger it gets. And when we stop working, that's when our faith gets weak. As I said, Brother Wiggins last time talked about the five steps, the first five steps, the first five works that it takes to become a Christian and become saved by that grace that we talked about here just momentarily ago. I would be remiss if I didn't go through those steps, as there may be those tonight listening in that have never taken the true steps to salvation. Of course, in John 6:44-45, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So the first step to salvation is to hear. And notice when we talk about hearing, that understanding. Here we're told, hear it, learn it, understand it, and it'll take you to the Father. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder that diligently seek him. So there, the second step is that belief in what we read and what we hear of God's word. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That repentance, not just saying, God, forgive me for what I did, but asking God for forgiveness, realizing the offense you've created against him, and making a plan for yourself to not do those things again. How am I going to win? How am I going to be victorious over the trials and temptations that come my way? That is repentance. Not just a thought, but a thought and an action. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, the fourth step, is the confession, that confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, sent down to this earth where he left all his knowledge and all that was with him, became a child, had to grow up just like you and I, dealing with the same fears and temptations as you and I, and yet he lived perfectly and became the perfect sacrifice for us. And then last step to salvation or to becoming a saint is Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Baptism of water, going down and burying a sinful man in the water and coming up out a new creature, something different, something that the world sees as not in the world. So for us to have faith means that, and have true faith means that we're going to work and we're going to take those first five steps to become a Christian, but it doesn't end there. No, God tells us there's more we have to do. Now, this is a long reading, but stay with me because it's so important. And I'm going to read out of James 2:14-26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have good works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, the faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by the works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works also is dead. Folks, I don't know if you can read anything and not come to the conclusion out of here that if I'm going to have faith, I better have works to follow it. You know, I used this just recently, and I use it often for a woman who has a husband who drinks a lot. She might ask him, if you love me, you'll stop drinking. If he stops drinking, she knows that he loves him. If he doesn't stop drinking, he may still love her, but where is the proof? God has asked for proof from us. So not only do we have faith, but we also have to have that work to follow him. Now, we talk about the different types of work. And there's a lot of different work God has asked us to do. We think about 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, we're to study the word of God. I want you to think about something this tonight. If you are not saved, where did you hear the word from? You heard it from someone who has studied the word. If you have been saved, think about that person that helped you, that taught you the word because they knew the word. And think about, if you don't study that word, who out there are you possibly failing? Now, we need to understand the word. We need to have it in our heart. It needs to guide us, and we need to guide others with it and bring it to them. I always say here, it says study to show thyself approved. It doesn't say study till you know it. It says study till the end, until the end of your days, continuing to challenge the understanding to make sure you've got it right. Because, folks, no matter how much you read this book, how much you go through it, you can find the truth in it. There are other works we do. We worship. We come to God on the Lord's Day and we worship. We worship to God, we sing praises, we pray to him, and we let him know that we are so thankful for him and we love him, for he first loved us. We take of the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus Christ. And when we do that, it's not just a quick prayer and a bite of a cracker and another quick prayer and a drink of some juice. No, it's thinking as we eat that bread, as we drink that juice, about what Christ went through for us, how he came to the earth, how he taught, how he became the cornerstone and, of course, was beaten, and his blood flowed so that we might be forgiven of our sins. It requires work, and that is work. But there's other work to be done outside of that. And I know people that said to me, you know, I'm not good at working and doing works for God. And, you know, even myself, at times I've caught myself telling people that I can't do this or I can't do that, or telling myself I can't do it. But there's so much work out there, and such simple work, too, that can be so effective. For one, how about cards or letters? How easy is it to write a card or a letter to someone that may be sick, someone that may be struggling spiritually, or having trouble with a family member, or whatever it might be? How hard is it? Or just to say, you know what, brother, sister, I love you, and I'm thinking about you. It's not very hard. Not very hard at all. Phone calls. How many of you have gotten a phone call from a brother? How does it make you feel? Makes you feel good inside, doesn't it? Emails. Door knocking. And today, one of the things I think about is social media. Social media has its goods and its bads. But can't we use it for good? Can we not post the Word of God on social media? Can we not invite people to church on Sunday or Wednesdays? These are great avenues to spread the Word. And that is a work for God, to get that Word out there to others. And one of the big things, one of the big works we need to do as Christians is be different than the world. We need to stand out. We need to be polite and courteous. We need to be a light in the darkness so people look and say, you know what, there's something different about that person. But the greatest work we can do is the Great Commission, such as in Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God gave us his word so that we could be saved. And he loves everyone, and as we should love everyone, and we should want everyone to be saved, no matter who they are, what they've done. Revelation 10:11 says, and he said unto them, thou must prophesy again before many nations, many people, and tongues, and kings. When I read that right there, what that tells me is it doesn't matter if my skin is dark or light. It doesn't matter whether I have blonde hair or red hair, whether I'm a male or a female, married, unmarried, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor. No, humanity is humanity, and all souls deserve the Word of God to be spoken to them so that they can see the light. And by the grace of God, find their way to salvation. As I close up here tonight, I'm reminded of a song that we sing, one that I love to sing. And it says, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. For those on here tonight, I hope that I've provided you with some words that have given you comfort, give you some understanding. And I pray that if there's any need that you have, contact someone from the Church of Christ. Contact the Highlands Church of Christ, the Vider Church of Christ, the Church of Christ nearby you. Contact one of us. Let's talk. Let's work. And let's be in heaven together. And I turn it back over to you now, Austin.